And I love that song. It's a wonderful song. Genesis chapter 7. Stayed upon Jehovah. Stayed upon Jehovah. Genesis chapter 7 this morning. And while you're turning there, I'll make one commercial, which is this. We talked about Sunday school, but be back for Sunday night for Revelation and study Revelation. And I challenge you, and Pastor John, we're going to do the same thing. I actually started this week. I got into my own study of Revelation and just to study that along with the church. I think that's such a great, it's the end times, we understand that. But to get in there and to also just be in touch, as Pastor John Mark goes over, to have already kind of read that for the week and get to that place, it'd be a good thing for you to do. I was really enjoyed that earlier this week. So I challenge you, man, before we come back tonight, if you're not coming on Sunday night, Revelation, a great study there. So, man, be back tonight and again, study it yourself. Study it and read that and take that in. It makes for a deeper study. Genesis chapter 7, we'll read verses 5 through 7. And it says this, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Let's pray. God, we come before you today, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for another week, Lord God, another set of days that you gave us breath, that you gave us strength, that you gave us life. God, we so often take for granted all that you do for us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just giving us everything, Lord God, that we have. God, I pray this morning, Lord God, as we saw one saved last week, Lord God, that this week, Lord God, we'd see the same thing. Lord, and to understand it's not of man, but it's all of God. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, this morning, Lord, if there's someone here that thinks they're going to heaven because of good works, it's not going to get them there. Lord God, if there's someone, Lord, that got baptized way back, Lord God, that's not going to get them there. Lord, I pray this morning they would understand that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the perfect life he lived. And God, I pray this morning, Lord God, you'd move among this place. Lord, I believe in 2024 you want and direct people to come here so that they'll hear the gospel and get saved. Lord God, it's not happening in many churches around. But Lord God, here we pray that the gospel fires would stay hot. Lord God, that we would continue on, Lord, in preaching and teaching your word, starting with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Savior, they come today to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God, as we get into the Word this morning, Lord, the Word is truth. Lord, the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God. And we look at Revelation, in fact, Lord, you are speaking. The Word is coming out of your mouth, Lord. The Word is so important for us to get into it this morning. God, be with Pastor John Mark as he speaks. Give him power, Lord God, as he speaks, strengthen him, Lord. And as we sit in the pew, Lord God, may the Holy Spirit within us that are saved work in our lives to take it in, Lord God, and to become, Lord, a more fit vessel for use. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Man, appreciate him filling in on Wednesday night. Man, I heard good reports on that. And so thank you for taking care of that as we were gone. And, man, appreciate the music this morning. Thank you to the choir. And then Mrs. Antic and Mrs. Hayes on the special, and Miss Stephanie on the offertory. And then, as you mentioned, maybe be back in tonight, going through the book of Revelation. Excited about that and looking forward to tonight's message. Man, this is going to be good to be back here on Sunday night. Good time for you to be in the house of God on Sunday night tonight. So be back in for that. Genesis chapter number 7. And we talked about last week, Genesis chapter 6, and we'll continue our theme this year, the beginning and the end. And Jesus Christ, the first and the last. And so Sunday morning is going through the book of Genesis, Sunday nights through the book of Revelation. I was traveling. In fact, we were gone a couple days this week and several days this week. And so I was noticing again as we drive by. So we, every time I come to work and go home, and come to church and go home, come the same way here. And we go down Hickory Road, and there is a fire station being built there. All right, fire station being built right there on off of right at the corner there at Hickory there, right past the Boys' Home. And so, over the past several
months or years. It's taking a little while for it to get done. Drive by there and we'll see, little by little, this added to it, a little more added to it, a little more done. I think it's close to being done. Some of you, if you don't drive by there very often, you go by, man, that sort of built something there. Anytime you see, buildings, something going up, it sort of draws our attention to that. When we were younger, I was thinking about this this morning. I think this is before we moved into the house that mom's in now. But we would, I remember going to new construction areas and houses that were being built and they weren't finished yet. And going in the evenings when nobody else was there and walking in and dad and mom taking us in there and they would go and looking for ideas. Now, back then I thought it was weird. How many of y'all have ever walked in new construction? Not anybody you know. It was just there and nobody was there and you walked and looked around inside illegally. Anyway, but no, whatever. Okay, so we weren't the only weird ones out there, right? So we're going around and seeing in. What's going on here? I was wondering who's been taking all that equipment of. Anyway, but we would do that, and so I want you to imagine this morning, all right? Imagine this morning we're in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Imagine that the people on earth during this time, and we don't know the population. I would imagine it was a lot because the lifespan was very long, and it had been several hundred years since Adam, and so now we're in the days of Noah. And you imagine these people, and I don't know how well they knew Noah. The Bible tells us Noah was 500 years old when this story starts. So he'd been around for a while. Obviously, he was living a different lifestyle than the world around. The Bible says the world was a wicked world. In fact, we talk about trying to stand in the world today. Noah was the only one living right. Everyone else was wicked before God, was unsaved, was heathen. Noah was not perfect, but he's the only one the Bible says he's righteous, and then his family with him. And so I don't know how well people knew Noah, how much, I don't think they really hung out with him a whole lot. But imagine this, as they're walking by the place where Noah lives, and they see, and at the beginning, they see Noah taking this wood, and I'm assuming his sons, I believe, were, if I remember right, 100 years old when this story sort of starts. They met his sons probably helping him out, his three sons, and I don't know if he got anybody else to help him or they just did that. And so he's carrying this wood, and the people that go by his house and go by where he lives, and they see and in his backyard and a field, wherever it was, he's starting to build something. And so that's going to pique your interest a little bit, and you see these people as they walk by. I don't know how long it took him to build it. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, that God said it would be 120 years from the time he mentioned something to Noah until the time the flood came. I don't know that it took him a full 120 years. It feels like that fire station has been about 120 years they've been building that thing. But I don't know if it took the 120 years to build it. That would be a long time. It may have taken a shorter time than that. But there was a time when Noah started. And so imagine these people walking by day, and they see, man, something's going on there. Structure's being built. Maybe stop by, and they probably don't know him real well, but maybe talk to him and say hi to him. Maybe even when he's gone inside for the night, they sneak around and start to look and see, oh, what's going on here? And so imagine these people. And so day by day, week by week, they would see this structure being built. Now, this was different. Now, they had seen boats before, and there was boats around. They hadn't really seen boats where there wasn't any water, right? They've seen boats before, I'm sure. But this was a little different. And so they're watching and seeing Noah. And as they see that, I'm sure word gets around, man, what's going on there? And Noah's building a boat in his backyard. And as he does that, day by day, they're walking by and they're seeing that. And so this structure that Noah's building, I want you to think about that this morning as we talk about it. Number one is this, the spectacle of the ark. When I say spectacle, I'm not saying that as they looked at it, they're all just laughing and thinking Noah's crazy. And that could have been as they got further along and maybe Noah explained, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm building this boat where there's no water anywhere and it's going to, you know, God's going to judge the earth. I don't know how they treated that. The Bible doesn't really tell us that. But it was a spectacle. It was something people could see. It's something evident. And so that spectacle, you know, for us as Christians, we should be a spectacle to the world around us. I'm not talking about, boy, that's weird and different, although that is some of what it is, right? But it should be that those around you see, boy, there's something that they're doing there that's different. This spectacle of the ark, this ark is designed by God. God's the one that tells, and God's very specific here. In fact, we'll look at the verses here in verse number, go to chapter 6 and verse number 14. God says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. He says, here's the wood I want you to use. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And it says, in this gopher wood, I want you to make some rooms. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. It tells him, all right, I don't want just one big structure. I want some rooms that are there. Verse number 15, very specific on the size. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. The breadth, 50 cubits. The height, 30 cubits. A cubit was roughly a foot and a half, the measurement they had in those days. So we're talking about a structure that's 450 feet long. And so that's a pretty long, you picture that, and football field's about 300 feet, and you add the end zones, and that's another, 360 feet somewhere in there. So about 100 feet longer than the football field with the end zones there, so you picture that. So a pretty long structure, and then 50 cubits was the breadth of it, all right? And so that's about 75 feet wide, and then about 45 feet tall. And so very specific on the measurements. Hey, this is the size that I want it to be. And then he also tells them in verse number 16, a window shall thou make, and a cubit shall thou finish it above, and a door. So he says, I want a window in it, and I want a door. And then lower, second, third stories. I want there to be three stories, three different stories. So very specific instructions for Noah. So Noah begins to build this ark according to the command of God. God told him, this is exactly what I want. I want you to take gopher wood. I want this. I want your rooms in there. I want three stories. I want a window. I want a door. Here's the size of it. Interesting, by the way, we didn't mention this, but back in verse number 14, it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And that pitch, we think of that as tar or something like it, but it's something there that would make this waterproof. Interesting, that word used here in Genesis for pitch is the same word used in Leviticus 17:11 for atonement. That atonement that comes through the blood of Christ. And that, but that pitch there, it makes sure that this is going to be waterproof. And so Noah begins to build that, and isn't it great what Noah does? Verse number 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so God designs it. Noah's the one that builds it according to what God said to do. And so as Noah does that, the people get to see this ark being built. This wasn't built somewhere, hide it away and nobody knows. No, people were able to see that. And it's interesting what God does. The Bible tells, we talked about last week in 2 Peter chapter 2, says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So we don't know the time period. We mentioned 120 years. I don't know, again, if it was that whole time period or a shorter time period. But Noah preached righteousness. He preached to the people. So the people that walked by got to hear the preaching of Noah. God always does that. God doesn't leave anyone without excuse. Everyone has an opportunity. The grace of God, we talked about last week, that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. There's no one that can say, I didn't know. And Noah begins to preach, and Noah begins to build, and these people are walking by, and they get to see the spectacle of the ark. They get to hear the preaching of Noah. They get to see the signs. The ark, of course, itself being built. And we talked about this a little bit last week. It's interesting. Methuselah, the longest living man ever, lived 969 years. And if you work the dates out there, you'll find out Noah's father, Lamech, lived 777 years, a perfect number, 777. He died 5 years before the flood. So 5 years before the flood is when he died. Methuselah lived even longer, and he died the exact year the flood came. And so you see Methuselah that ending of that line of Seth. And so the only one left from that line is now Noah. All the rest of them have died. And Methuselah, as he dies right before the flood comes, they get to see the sign. Think about this. Go to verse number 20 of chapter 6. Back in verse 19, every living thing, two of every sort, male and female, of fowls, cattle, creeping thing in the earth, two of every sort. Look at the end of verse 20, shall come unto thee. So not only, of course, is Noah going to be on this ark, but these animals are going to be there. And these people, they not only got to see Noah build the ark, they not only got to see, hey, Methuselah just died, they only not only got to hear the preaching of Noah, but they got to see these animals. The Bible says, God said, I'm going to give these animals to come unto you. Imagine that sight, seeing these animals head toward the ark. Now, not all the animals, right? Just two of every kind, seven of some of those that we use for sacrifices. But so the people said, well, look, and there had to be something. Of course, I'm sure they tried to explain it away as this, but to see these animals head towards the ark. So the spectacle of the ark, these people, as they walk by, they get to see all that's going on. And there was no one in the days of Noah, as they heard, and I'm sure word spread, hey, this is going on. And of course, it goes on for a long period of time as he builds the ark and as he preaches. And so we see the spectacle of the ark. All the people had opportunity. In fact, the Bible tells us, we read last week in Hebrews 11, that Noah, his actions condemned the world because it showed this, that there was a righteous person, that there was someone that did follow after God. And so as they had opportunity to choose, Noah chose right, everyone else chose wrong. This morning, we're to be a spectacle to those around us. They should see in our lives something different. There should be something, if we're saved on our way to heaven, something they would say, man, that's something different. The life that they have is different. And so all these people had opportunity to see that spectacle, and then we see this, not only the spectacle of the ark, but the salvation of the ark. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. God said, come thou. You know, there's an open invitation to everyone this morning to come to Jesus. You know that? Go to the very end of your Bibles. Mr. Cliff, I'm getting a little ringing in this here. Go to Revelation 22, the very end, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 is the Bible ends. The written word of God ends, not the opportunity for salvation, but the written word of God ends. Look at verse number 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what the Bible ends with? An invitation to come. Hey, everybody can come. Whosoever will may come. There's an open invitation to come, and God invites Noah and his family. He says, I want you to come. By the way, he says, if you're telling somebody to come, you want them to what? Come be with you. God's already there. God's inviting us to come to heaven. He's already there. He's already there. And so the invitation is not to go. The invitation is to come. Now, once we're saved, we're to go out and tell others and invite them in as well. But this morning, there's an open invitation for you to come to Christ. An open invitation. And so the invitation is given to come for Noah and for his family. As we mentioned, we read the dimensions of the ark and the building of the ark. There's only one ark, by the way. And interesting, Noah didn't build a bunch of arks. There wasn't this way, that way, and that way. Hey, if you didn't like this ark, there's a little nicer one over here. It's got more accommodations. This one has a little bit different. No. There's one ark. There's one ark. There's one way to heaven. There's one way to heaven. One ark and one door. What did Jesus say in the New Testament? He said, I am what? The door. If you're going to come in John chapter 10, it says, I am the door, and you've got to come through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven. It's not, and boy, we're living in a day and age where I'm talking about people that used to stand and say, hey, you need to get saved, and now we hear them talk about, well, you know, there's a lot of different beliefs out there. There's a lot of different beliefs out there, but there's still only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's only through Jesus Christ. And people are afraid, boy, if we're exclusive like that, and we say, boy, oh, hey, let me tell you something this morning. It's not because what we think, it's because of what the Bible says. The Bible says there's one way to heaven, and all those that come only through Christ. And those that do not believe, those that don't trust Christ, the Bible says, are condemned already. And so the invitation to come is through one door, through the one ark, and what happens in verse number 7, and Noah went in. And his sons and his wives and his son's wife and his wife and his son's wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And let me tell you something this morning. Just because Noah got invited doesn't mean he was saved. Noah had to come in the ark. Does God love everybody? Sure he does. Does God love you whether you're saved or unsaved? He loves you. But I tell you this morning, if we don't come in, if we don't accept what Christ has done, if Noah wasn't willing to step into that ark and accept the plan God had, then Noah's going to be like everybody else. God didn't force Noah to come in. He invited him to come in, and Noah went in and his family with him. Noah had to still walk into the ark even though God had invited him. And it's interesting, when Noah walked in the ark, as best we know, we read the scripture. I'll go to a couple of scriptures here in a second. When Noah walked in the ark, the rain had not started yet. It wasn't like rain's coming down, the waters are coming up. Oh, let me run in the ark and jump in the ark real quick. No, Noah went in when God said to go in. Rain hadn't started yet. Nobody had seen rain, and nobody knew what rain was, and the Bible tells us this was something different. In fact, as God spoke to Noah, God told him he was going to destroy the earth in back in chapter 6 and verse number 13. No indication as you read through this. He tells him he's going to build this. Exactly how it's going to happen as far as the rain part, we do know this in verse number 17 of chapter 6. It says, I'll bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy. But I don't know outside of that if he knew, okay, what rain, all this stuff. And he tells him in verse number 4, chapter 7, I will cause it to rain upon the earth 4 days, 4 nights. Noah even understood what that meant. But God told him that. And so Noah goes into the ark, and we talked about the long suffering of God. I want you to see something here. Look at this. Go to chapter 7, verse 10. In verse number 7 through 9, Noah goes into the ark, and those animals go into the ark. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days. Look back at verse 4. God said, for yet 7 days. I want you to get in the ark, and then 7 days later, I'll cause it to rain upon the earth. You know, God is so long-suffering, he put Noah in the ark, and he still gave him 7 more days. Those animals are on the ark, they're headed to the ark, and these people walking by, and now they see Noah and his family. They're, man, where'd they go? Where'd they been? Oh, they must have gone inside there. They're in the ark. Those animals are in the ark, and for 7 days, for another week, those people got to see that ark. By the way, door is still open. Door's still open. Noah's in there. His family's in there. Animals are in there. Still there. Door's still open. And so you have a week of time, and the people walk by, and they see that. So you have the spectacle of the ark. You have the salvation of the ark, and then, man, it's great. You have the security of the ark. Look at verse number 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse number 17, the floods, 40 days, the waters increase and bear up the ark. Verse 18, the waters prevailed, increased greatly upon the earth. And verse number 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. You know what? The mountains were covered with water. All of the earth was flooded with water, but that water could not get in the ark. death and destruction all around Noah. It could not affect Noah because of the security that came, because God shut the door, and so no one else could come in and take Noah out of there. There's a security in salvation through Jesus Christ, a security that's there. Death's all around him. What does Psalms 23 say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said what? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Hey, they were in that safest, secure place, the ark that God has said, this is what I want you to do, here's what I want you to build, and God shut them in. Nothing outside could affect them this morning. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. The Bible tells us, no man can pluck them out of my hand, God said. Nobody can get to you. Nobody. Nobody. Your eternal security is what? Eternal. Because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Man, doesn't matter. All the stuff around Noah, everywhere, couldn't get to him. Why? Because God had shut him in. You know, here's something else. I heard a preacher talking about this recently. Because Noah had obeyed God's command and gone in the ark, and of course Noah had built the ark according to God's command. Noah, the Bible tells us he was on that ark for about a year. Noah, when he's walking around the ark, imagine walking around the ark, the three stories, trying to take care of these animals and all that was going on during this time as they're floating around. And I don't know how good y'all are, you know, as floating on water with your balance. You know, Noah could have tripped and fallen inside the ark, but he couldn't fall out of the ark. Hey, we're saved on our way to heaven. We may trip and fall. We may sin. We're going to sin. You're not going to be perfect. But you know what? You can't fall out. Noah wasn't hanging on the edge. Whoa, I might. No, no, no. Noah was safely inside the ark, and he may fall over something or pigs knock him over or horse push. He could fall down in the ark, but he wasn't going to fall out of it. And this morning, there's a security in salvation. Well, I'm struggling. I don't know for sure if I mean, I prayed and I asked Christ. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what Noah did? He did everything God told him to do. He obeyed God's command. This morning, if you said, well, I've done what God said to do. I've trusted Jesus Christ to save me. You know what? You can fall, but you're not going to fall out of salvation. God has you in his hand. And there's no way. That security is there. And so, boy, the security of the Lord is the one that shut the door. The water couldn't get in. Noah couldn't fall out. To worry about that. But I want you to notice this. Look at verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. The Bible says the ark was lifted up. As that water increased, the ark got to the point where it was lifted up above the mountains. Now, no longer are these people walking around looking. What are they doing? As that rain comes down, as the Bible tells us, the waters of even the oceans, it seems like, came up from underneath. Now what are they doing? They're climbing, right? Now they're climbing. And they're looking at that boat. And they're climbing. And they're climbing over this. And they're climbing. And they're anything they can do. But you know what? The problem is, no matter how much they beat on that ark or tried to get up to where their ark was, it's going higher and higher as that water takes it up, and that door is shut. And there's people who just walked by and seen the spectacle. Boy, that's something crazy that Noah's doing there. Now, all of a sudden, that's the only place of salvation. And they can't get to it. And if they can get to it, they can't get in it. And look at verse 21. And all flesh died. Verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, the cattle, the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. now they're down here looking, and they're not laughing. Or they're crying out. Can you imagine the cries of agony as they realize they can't get to it? If they get to it, they can't get in. I'm going to tell you this morning, God's plan has an expiration date. And this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's going to be a day where the door shuts. It shuts. And you no longer can get in. Now, as best we know, when that door shut, the ark wasn't on top of the mountains yet. No. The ark's still on the ground. But that rain was starting to come down, and as you imagine those people, as that water hit their face, and they see the floods coming up, and it's 40 days and 40 nights in that 40-day time period, day after day after day, and they can't get in. Let me tell you, there comes a day where you can no longer get in. Hey, this morning, that security and that safety that comes from the ark also means when God shuts the door, no one else can open it. I don't know when God's plan for you in this life is over, but there's going to be a date. You go down to that cemetery right over there, and what do you see? You see some dates on there. You see a date of birth, and you see a date of death. You know what the date of death is? That's expiration. No longer can they trust Christ as Savior. No longer, if they're saved, can they do anything more for God. Hey, this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, come. He said, come. And if you're saved this morning, let me just remind you. Hey, I'm pretty at ease where I am. Hey, there's only a short amount of time we have to do something for God, and then it's all over. All over. Hey, you think about those people. As they walked along, looking at, boy, man, it's taking a while, whatever he's building there. There came a day. They wanted to get inside. They couldn't. This morning, you're in a place to hear the gospel, the truth of salvation. It only comes through Jesus Christ. The reason we talked about last week that God was judging the world was because of their sin. Our sinners will send us to hell for eternity. And yet God says, I've got a plan, I've got a plan. That plan is for my son to come and die on the cross for you so that you can be saved. And whosoever will may come. Hey, this morning, there's an open invitation for you. It doesn't last forever. There'll be a day, we read in Revelation, there'll be a day when we all stand before Christ. We all do. Those that are unsaved spend eternity in hell. Those that are saved, the Bible says, be judged according to your works so that you can receive your rewards. Hey, there's going to be a time we can't do anything more. That security that Noah had also meant that those that couldn't get in would die. This morning, you know for sure you're on the way to heaven. God says, come, just as I am, right? Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come this morning, Father? Be with each of us, Lord. There's some maybe here this morning that have never trusted you as Savior. Lord, and as we think back to this time period, Lord, and we don't know, we know the little bit we have in the Word of God, and as best we know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, somebody who gave the truth. And Lord, there was many, I don't know if it was tens or hundreds or thousands or even millions, that heard Noah preach and walked away. Maybe someone walked away and said, well, maybe I'll get to that at some point and got some time. Ark's not done yet. Maybe some of them just laughed and rejected. Lord, but there's a world that walked by and saw this spectacle of an ark. And Lord, never really stopped to do anything about it. I pray this morning, Lord, I pray there's someone here that's not saved. Lord, help them not just to walk by this morning. Help them not just to pay attention for a minute and then move on. And No, Lord, I pray they'd stop, they'd listen, they'd hear the gospel and trust Christ today. Lord, I pray there's someone here that's saved, Lord, but boy, if it's not living for you, though, our time is short. It's short. The time when we no longer can do anything more for you. And I pray if we're saved this morning, Lord, we have the security of the ark. We're not going to fall out of the ark. We know. Boy, there's only a short time to try to reach those around us. I pray that we would do that. Live a life that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. If you stand with your head bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this morning. Do you know for sure you're on the way to heaven? There's the security there. Maybe say, I'm battling with that, man. I'm just not 100% sure. Let me tell you something. Noah did what God told him to do. He obeyed God and did what God's word said, and God has given us what we're supposed to do, to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus Christ came and paid for your sins. If you trust Him, that's what the Bible says to do to get saved. Maybe you're struggling with that this morning. Hey, Noah was saved. He's inside that ark. There's no falling out. There's a certainty there. God wants us to know for sure. So maybe this morning you struggle with some assurance. Man, I need to make sure I know. Man, God's taking care of you. If you're saved this morning, it's not temporary life. It's everlasting life. If you're here this morning, say this. You say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know without a doubt because I've trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior. If you slip your hand up here, I'm going to say, I know I'm saved this morning. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, say, man, I'm struggling with some assurance, and maybe I've never trusted Christ. You know what God says? Just come. He says, come. Come. And this morning, you say, I'm not sure if I was to die today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. I won't embarrass you at all. I promise you that. But I would like to pray for you. If you're here this morning, say, I'm just not sure that I'd spend eternity in heaven. Would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me this morning? I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, come forward today. Come forward today, and we'll talk to you and show you what the Bible says, how you can know for sure you spend eternity in heaven. Hey, if you're saved this morning, hey, time is short. Time is short. Let's use it for Him. As the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you this morning.
again, great to have you here this morning. We'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock tonight. And, man, I want to mention a couple things here. Man, great to have Wesley. Great to have you back in. Wesley Carter came in last Sunday morning for the first time. And after the service last Sunday morning, talked to Brother Jason and accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, man. And so excited for you. Glad to have you back in this morning. Let me tell you something. We've got got our baptism fixed now. We've got two baptisms set up for next week. Listen, you need to get saved first, all right? Baptism doesn't do anything about your salvation, but once you're saved, you get baptized. We've got a couple set up for next week. If you've been saved, you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. If you're saved and baptized, you haven't joined the church, you need to join the church. Now, whatever New Testament church God sends you to, I got a good suggestion for you where to join, all right? But you need to join the church. You need to be involved in serving God. You need to be in the house of God. Be back tonight. Be back Wednesday night. Man, we don't have much time left. Live for the Lord, man. Make sure you're living for the Lord. Man, excited about that salvation. Look for some baptisms next week. And, man, just excited about what God wants to do here in this place. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Hey, Brother James, if you will, why don't you close in prayer, bud?